Live from Denver, in high definition, the Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. 1-888-99-IDOBI. Facebook.com/EJC Show. EJC Show on Twitter. And now, Eddie, Jason, and Chris.
We're the best three friends that anybody can have.
Alright, here we are. It's gonna be a good one. It's gonna be a good one. How's everybody doing?
It's gonna be something, that's for sure.
It's gonna be something, that's for sure. It's Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. 1-888-99-IDOBI, that's the phone number. If you want to call up and say hello to us, you're welcome to do that. You can also add us on Skype, do that, EJC Show. And tweet
us.
We're
gonna introduce ourselves tonight?
Fine. Yes, I'm Eddie.
I'm Jason.
I'm Chris.
Well, here we go. Hello, everybody. So last week on last week's episode, Chris, you were telling us a marvelous story.
Marvelous.
About how on your birthday you got a little sick.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that story? So you went out and you had some a feta cheese omelet, and then it was after a night of drinking, and it was just a bad scene all around.
For sure. Yeah, I remember that.
So. Before the show, I took clips of you talking about having a bad feta cheese omelet and called a few diners. This is what happened. Here's one of them. There's a couple of these. Here we go.
How may I help you?
I got some, it was a feta cheese omelet, and I got pretty sick.
Sir?
I got pretty sick.
When was this?
Like 3 hours passed, and I thought I was about to puke again. Like, I was hovering the toilet, and then, that moment passed, and then like half an hour later, I was feeling fine.
Around what time did you have the omelet?
Like 3 hours passed.
Like 3 hours ago from now?
Yeah, I had something
three hours from now.
Sinus was stopped up, or like I had something in my throat. Yeah, I'm in my car when we get it. I would have just swallowed it. I think I would have thrown up if I swallowed it.
Was it at the sale?
Yeah.
I don't remember having someone come in with the Fiesta omelet.
Yeah. I couldn't eat much of it at the restaurant, so I, like, packed it up and took it home. And
you said it was at this one? Because we haven't had anyone in here with that.
Like, if I decide that it would really mean a lot to me when I die for you guys to eat a part of my body, if I ask you to do that, would you do that?
Probably not.
Yeah. So there's one of them.
Well done.
That was a fun one.
I like what you pulled.
There's another one here.
It's a solid board. You should just keep that one.
That is a good one. Should we play this other one right now?
Might as well
while we're doing it.
Did you actually call the establishment in which he ate?
No. I purposely called this for this one. I called a place that did not have a feta cheese omelet. I looked at their menu because I wanted there to be a little bit of a confrontation over. And I don't know. This is what happened with this next one. Clips of Chris from last week making prank calls here. By the way, shout out to Selena real quick. She's listening. So hello, Selena.
I got some, it was a feta cheese omelet, and I got pretty sick.
I'm sorry, what?
I got pretty sick.
From?
You know, I think it was definitely the feta cheese omelet. It's delicious. I get it all the time.
Come here. Hello?
I got pretty sick.
Who's pretty?
You know, I think it was definitely the feta cheese omelet. It's delicious. I get it all the time.
Can I help you? This is Steve. What's going on?
I thought I was about to puke again. Like, I was hovering the toilet. And
hello?
Then,
hey.
It was a feta cheese omelet, and I got pretty sick.
Okay, who am I speaking with?
Chris.
Are you sure you've called the right place?
I am Chris.
You're Chris. Okay, what's your last name, Chris?
You know, I think it was definitely the feta cheese omelet. It's delicious. I get it all the time.
If you had a complaint over an omelet, then you're going to have to come in and talk to my boss because he's the one that works day shift and fixes the omelets.
No?
Yeah?
Maybe the feta and tequila. Anyway, I threw up at the apartment.
Okay, I'm not... What's your last name, Chris?
I had something, like, my sinus was stopped up, or, like, I had something in my throat, and so, like, hocked up, like, loogie, like, huge. Normally, like, you know, I'm in my car when we get it, I would have just swallowed it. I think I would have thrown up if I swallowed it.
Okay, you have called Steve's, do you realize where you've called?
Yeah.
Okay, you're not making any sense to me, though.
Well, it's not my fault.
You want to start from the beginning and tell me when you came in and yeah. what you had to eat.
I got some. It was a feta cheese omelet, and
we don't have a feta sick. Cheese omelet. We don't even carry feta cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. For yeah. real.
Well, it's not my fault.
I'm not sure you've got the right place, sir.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and stop in and talk to me?
Those are good.
I feel like she came in hot already.
She did. Yeah. I don't like her customer service skills.
Like
she comes in hot. We got a complaint. Oh, no. Not another complaint.
Not my fault.
I need your first name and last name,
yeah.
sir.
Yeah. What does that have to... Why does that matter when you're making a complaint what your name is?
Yeah.
So they can never serve you again.
I guess. Maybe she's going to put you on the wall of shame.
Yeah. You come in. They have to ask every customer when they walk in, what's your first and last name, please?
Yes.
I need to check to see if I can serve you or not.
We will not give you a table unless you have a first and last name.
Correct.
So, there you go.
That's a good idea. I like that idea of a restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, so we have our guest we're going to talk to in a little bit. Maybe if...
Is it a lawyer?
No, it's a stuntman.
Ooh.
Do you guys want to talk to a stuntman?
Stuntman slash lawyer.
He's a legendary stuntman.
Legendary.
According to his bio.
Mm.
So,
no one can fake
things,
a bio.
Yeah, those things are never wrong.
I think we've interviewed a lot of people and a lot of different types of people, but never a stuntman. He worked on G.I. Joe, Retaliation, Looper, Red.
Wow.
The Green Lantern.
Ooh.
Jonah Hex.
I wouldn't put that on his resume.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that one on there. The Mechanic.
I don't know that one.
Contraband.
Don't know that one either.
Yeah. I think when you're a stuntman, like the, the assessment of your work portfolio is a little bit different than, if you were, say, an actor or something, or director or writer.
Yes.
What they're judged on is very going to be very, like...
Right. It's the
saying
it's
you were
the
stuntman for, like, The Piano, like, that might be a good movie, but, you're not going to get a lot of stuntman credit for that.
The Piano had stunts?
No, he's just saying as a... Example.
Yeah.
Why would you use a movie that has like zero action as an example?
That was the point.
I tried to illustrate a point.
Were you paying attention?
No.
God damn it all.
I wasn't paying attention.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But how do you become a stuntman? Like willing to blow yourself up and break shit? Like that's how you become a stuntman.
All these questions will be... I think we have a lot of questions. I mean, like why would you do this?
Easy
money. Are you insane?
Easy money.
I think you start out as a grip.
Did you not make it on Jackass?
And
you started as a grip.
Yeah, but you have to be like a raging alcoholic
grip?
And establish that reputation, and then send a video of you like getting just hammered, like really blasted in the nuts to all the Hollywood bigwigs.
So you're saying you have to be an alcoholic to be a stuntman? It's a pretty broad statement.
I'm saying...
Are you saying
you don't
evil?
Have to be an alcoholic to be a stuntman, but it helps.
Are you saying Evel Knievel was an alcoholic?
I'm saying I don't know that he wasn't. He did try to jump over the Grand Canyon in
like a
rocket
small,
motorcycle.
Small part
that
of the Grand Canyon.
That doesn't seem like a sober decision
it's
to
not
me.
Like he jumped over the like the mile
no,
long.
No, he did not. No, he did not. It is the Grand Canyon.
He just did like a little part of it.
I feel like a sane, sober individual would have known that wasn't going to work.
Well, maybe he likes to go big.
No doubt about that.
How much money do you think he pulled down for that?
I don't know, but he probably drank it all away.
And spent it on prostitutes.
Yeah.
Well.
And gambled.
Yeah.
And snorted a lot of illegal drugs.
Yes.
If I was a stuntman, that would be what I would say during a stunt.
Whee!
You know how stuntmen... like Evel Knievel or something like that?
Eesh.
Like a motorcycle stuntman or something? You know, they always have broken bones, like a lot.
Yeah, right.
Do you think?
I've never broke a bone in my body, though, ever.
Ever?
No.
I have once.
Yeah,
when
your
I was
ankle.
An adult. Yeah.
Man. But what, what was your point, Chris?
Do you think their genitals are all mingled, too?
Yes.
Do you think they're messed
Well, don't you
up?
Remember what happened to Johnny Knoxville? He did that stunt where he was on a motorcycle, and then he crashed, and the bike landed on his crotch.
No.
So he's had a catheter for, like, the past 5 years or something, and he has to use it for like 10, something crazy. So anytime he needs to pee, he has to put a tube up his
Wait, it takes 10
hole.
Years to recover?
It's like some long, crazy long recovery with the injury he has. So he has mangled genitals for sure.
He has, some would say, a detachable penis.
Well, I don't know. Actually, nobody would say that because that's not what it is.
Detachable penis.
But we'll give you this. There you go.
God, that didn't deserve it, but you could have played the song.
Way to reference a song. None of our listeners were alive when it came out. Well, most of our listeners. I
so what?
Making blankets.
Maybe we should
like
play
that
song tonight so they can. We could introduce them into this song because of what I said.
I feel like it was hilarious in 1995, and it still is if you were around in 1995. I feel like it just, like, that's. Brand of humor has completely gone out of fashion.
I don't think so. I think it's because
penises
we're older.
Penises are still funny.
I think 15-year-olds are still going to find that funny.
I don't think it's the material. I think it's the delivery.
Well, the delivery's a little dry, but
it's very dry.
Yeah, it's like he just talks the whole time.
It's very 1995.
It's like, I'm too cool to sing, so I'm just going to talk the lyrics.
Well, if we're going to play it, you should stop playing it, because it tells a story, and it's an awesome song.
Okay, well,
yeah, you
song.
Have to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
We can play that whole thing, fine.
You can't just talk over it.
Yeah.
Well, come to the chat room. Selena, big shout-out to Selena. So, our chat room, we need to get more people in here again. idobe.com/EJCVIP. If you go in there, you'll have the...
come, kiddies, come join our chat room.
We got candy.
There's lots of candy. Well, I mean, if you're in the chat room, that's
three grown men.
Yeah,
what more could you ask?
Actually,
for?
I haven't been in the chat room in a couple
weeks. Now you're making me not want to do the chat room anymore. I thought it was cool.
Sorry.
Now nobody wants to come. Chris Hansen is in there. That's cool. Great.
From where the Hansons?
Where did he touch you?
But all right. Never mind. I'm not even going to talk about the chat room.
No, it's fine, man.
It's fine. It's don't, funny. We're joking.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Well,
I feel like if we don't do the chat room now, it really is suspicious. You know,
on Eddie's part, not on our part.
Why?
I don't know. Because you feel like guilty now.
For what?
For not. You don't want to talk about the chat room now.
Well, how do we get people to come to the chat room when you're saying, yeah, there's pedophiles in here? It's great.
Because
pedophiles
are
funny.
First person who actually said the word pedophile, and now we can't dial that back.
It was strongly implied.
Strongly implied, but you crossed a whole nother bridge.
In jest.
Yeah.
Goddamn soundboard, get rid of that. you've already spent your limit on the soundboard buttons tonight.
You're just jealous because you
don't
have a soundboard.
I'm not jealous.
You want a soundboard?
No.
We'll install you one.
I don't want one.
Tom?
You know, I'm normally against the soundboard, but I think it's fine.
Yeah. Chris likes it.
Let's see how he feels after the first hour of the show.
What's wrong with the soundboard?
You're on.
All right.
Yeah.
See, the soundboard...
It could go either way.
I mean, you guys aren't listening to the show. You're here. The soundboard is for the people listening.
I'm definitely not listening
to
the show.
I'm listening in my headphones.
None of us are listening to the show.
Eddie, Jason, and Chris. EJCShow.com.
Where's the beef? That's how Chris likes to open up the segments now, by saying, where's the beef, apparently.
He's officially not a vegetarian anymore.
So you know, you can't go wrong with the classics.
You're just saying off the air, Jason, that the Guinness Beer Company, they're going to be going vegan, huh?
Yeah, that's what I heard somewhere. I saw a like, news article.
I didn't know if there was meat in Guinness all this time.
I think it's a byproduct.
So byproduct?
I don't know. They get fish in it somehow.
Maybe because of the water that they're using?
So you don't know if it's fish?
Well, it said fish.
Oh, it said fish.
Do you know anything
because
of this story?
You said vegan, and I figured maybe some dairy was in there because it's got kind of a, you know, milky quality.
Mm. I don't know.
Do you guys want?
I didn't talk about it on air because I wasn't definitive.
Well,
in the facts,
you're a newsman.
Yeah. I'm not. Chris, now you're gonna have to look it up. He just launched your music.
Oh yeah! I forgot we were doing this.
Oh, are we gonna go to a story?
I don't know. I think he has to Google Guinness.
Well, we can go to
that's
one.
That's not
of
how this works.
We can go to one of your news stories here in just a second, Chris. But I wanted to play a quick game of guest roulette. Yeah, so this is where we have a guest that we call live on the air that we don't book beforehand. And we just see if they answer.
Sure, let's
and if
go.
They do, they do. If they don't, they don't. So there's this news story about a couple, and they met because it's kind of a weird story. One of them accidentally text messaged the wrong person. So they were trying to text somebody that they put the wrong phone number in, and then it went to the wrong person, and then they ended up talking, and then they ended up getting married.
Getting hitched. My God, let's call them right
Isn't
now.
Isn't this going to be great? Oh, my Lord. Here we go. Guest roulette. See if they answer.
Is the sound outside or is it inside?
I don't know. What was that sound? Did that even go over there? I don't know.
Oh, that wasn't
I don't think so.
That was really outside? I thought yeah. that was I thought that was a soundboard.
No. No. That was outside.
I'm like, God damn it, Eddie. What an awful time to play that.
I'm going to play a motorcycle driving by.
Fast. A fast driving, riding motorcycle.
Right.
Fast driving.
Hey, it's Casey. Leave me a message.
No. I don't want to. Well, see, she didn't answer, but we also have her new husband's phone number as well. So I will get that going in the background, but this might not work out because you never know what
these
guests
That's what happens.
Do.
That's what
you know,
happens.
They're either like really interesting and weird because these people aren't expecting an interview or nothing happens.
Yeah.
But we have Chris's news queued up. I guess we go to one of your stories if this doesn't work. So now we're calling the other guy.
Okay.
Henry, the other guy that's part of the story. It's guest roulette, ladies and gentlemen. You never know what's going to happen next. Yes. Spinning the guest roulette wheel.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice.
All right. Guest roulette did not work. What a terrible sound effect of a roulette wheel. All right. What's in the news, Chris?
Why is it that the line you join is always the slowest one? A man named David Andrews wrote a book about it and says he has discovered why the other line always moves faster. Andrews claims that people experience time differently while waiting than they do if they were busy, so no one notices when they are in the fastest line. He explained, "Our minds are rigged against us. Regardless of time actually spent, the slowest line will always be the one you are standing in." His new book, Why Does the Other Line Always Move Faster, great title, also reveals that cash
lines
are
quicker. Is that your own editorial you're inserting into this?
Shut up. And men's lack of patience mean they are more likely to give up, making your wait shorter. The best line to join is the long, winding line where a number is called to send you to the next available register. This prevents one person from holding up an entire line.
You know what's great about this book?
What?
It's also the world's shortest book. It's about a chapter long.
Really?
No.
Presumably.
I mean, how much can you actually write about this, though?
All right, so the title of
like,
the story
really? Come on.
Was How to Beat Long Lines and Why It's Better to Line Up Behind Men Than Women, but I feel like the...
That's sexist.
I feel like it didn't really answer that question.
Yeah, what's with your news story here?
I don't know.
It's awful.
So I thought I was implying that if you line up behind women, the line goes slower.
I figured because they were more chatty.
Oh.
But a lot of times
they'll have to stop at the Us Weekly.
Yeah, but you probably have a better view.
Wait, that's me. I'm sorry.
You have a better view if you line up behind a woman, if she's so attractive.
So do you guys line up behind attractive women in the grocery store? Is that what you look for?
Or men?
I do occasionally.
You're like, I'm gonna go to that line because there's a more attractive
right.
Woman about, working it or in line.
I'll tell you what, it's not happened. I'll tell you that.
I tell you, it's. I'll tell you,
right? I can't be alone in that.
Right. No.
I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done it before, where I'm at like a Whole Foods or something, and I see all the cashiers, and there's like a woman in her 50s, and she's not looking that great. She's been weathered with cigarettes. And then next,
Eddie's like, "Damn, I could tap that."
Yeah, that's the line I go to. Then that's the line I go. No, then there's another line, and then there's a younger chick, and she doesn't have to be that attractive. But something in my head will process. I will go to the one that's slightly more attractive,
even if she has more items.
Yeah, I don't know why.
An ass in yoga pants is just a magnet.
But I don't shop at Whole Foods, unlike Eddie. Do you shop at Whole Foods, Chris?
Nah.
Not for the bulk of my shopping. Sometimes, for some items.
Not my day-to-day.
But, like, usually I go to our local grocery store.
I don't go there.
You don't go there? But, I mean, next time you go into your local grocery stores, look to see how many men you actually see in a line, though.
Very rare. You're saying that not a lot of men shop.
Correct.
You're saying,
or at least don't shop like a big shopping trip.
That's interesting.
So
where you have to go
couple.
To line. Usually you'll go in for like usually when I go shopping, it's two like or two three or three, items. And I do self checkout and I'm out the door.
Yeah,
that's where most men go.
Yeah,
but if you look at the lines, you don't see a lot of men there. You see just women.
I get pissed because there's one grocery store by me and it doesn't have any self checkout. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Ooh, that's tough.
Yeah. And I feel bad because I know people are losing their jobs to these self-checkouts, but God damn it, it's just
you don't want to have that, you know, interaction with another individual.
God, no.
You just want to go and get.
Absolutely.
The self-checkout really is the most beautiful thing of all time. Yeah. But here's
Assuming you're not a cashier.
The only thing I don't like about the self-checkout is if you go through the self-checkout and you buy condoms, you'd think that normally, you know, you just it's discreet, nobody's going to bother you. But if you take condoms through a self checkout, you have to there's an alert that comes up, and then like the 15-year-old kid,
you're 30 years old, man.
Who cares if you're buying condoms?
I know, I don't
I'm an adult
care.
Man, having
that's my point. You're not letting me finish my point. My point wraps back to like being in high school. I think that more kids would buy condoms if they didn't have to go through that checkpoint.
No.
So I think that all these grocery stores are responsible for teenage pregnancy.
Right.
Why are they flagging the purchase? I feel like I've
I don't know.
Condoms without
they do it to me every time.
Maybe they
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe but they're just like, man, like, he doesn't look like he's 18.
I feel
flag
like
it.
Condoms are probably highly
stolen?
A lot of shoplifting.
Yeah, but why
I feel
would you
like that's
but you're already in the checkout line.
You're scanning it out.
Yeah.
No, my point is, why would they want to add another layer that would keep that rate higher, you know?
No,
like
you're
the
right.
opportunity to keep it discreet, right. I imagine, would drive down their loss.
Unless they're magnums, then you should be called out on that shit, because most guys probably don't need magnums.
True.
Like, you don't need those. Yeah. Really, go put those back and get the real size.
I feel like an asshole buying magnums, because it's always like, no, I really do need them.
Yeah. you know, I was actually just, I came across.
I'm not going to the XXL, come on.
Speaking of magnums, you know, it's just a marketing ploy, I guess. I don't know, I've never tried, we should try this on the show. We should buy magnums and regular condoms, but I came across like,
what,
God
blow
damn
them
it,
up?
That is the gayest thing you have ever
are we
seen.
Gonna, like,
oh yeah, well, then we'll get our cocks hard and try them on. No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, but.
It sounded like what you were implying.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing.
If we get a hot professional female fluffer, then I might be in.
No, but
discreetly though,
I was clicking around on the internet and they had this whole marketing thing and like this expose on
what site were
you
on?
Well, I think I've read that something similar.
you porn
like
and
it's...
they're what I'm saying is the Magnum condoms are really not any bigger.
Well, right, it's marketing.
No, what I've heard, and this is so it's sort of a contentious point, is that like a regular condom, latex is highly elastic, like you could fit like a steel-toed work boot and a regular condom. But the problem
is that it's
just, yes, it's that, you know, you don't want that degree of tightness. So what I've read is that magnums aren't necessary, but then I've heard, like, counter-arguments that, yes, they are. Like, you don't want to be, you know, cutting off circulation in that region.
That's your homework, Chris. Go try a magnum condom with your girlfriend this week and then report back. Put it on the company card. Get some flowers too. Our counter people will
be
not
romantic.
Notice.
Yeah,
just come home with like some flowers and a box of Magnums and say, "Well, we all knew. We both knew
you
I needed
know
this.
What this man.
There you go.
Hmm.
Unless you want to do that homework.
Nope.
No. Why? It's free condoms and flowers.
Seems like Jason's out of the sex
Touché.
Game.
Whoa! Whoa! Whoa!
Are you out of the sex game?
No.
Oh.
Are you?
No.
Chris?
No.
You're like in the sex game like an 18-year-old right now, it seems.
How's that?
I don't know. You just seem like you're more into it. Like, it's on your brain.
That's interesting.
We've talked about, I don't know why how we've this has come up a lot recent weeks, but seems like that's kind of what you're into right now. Sex. I don't know where we were talking about it. Last week maybe on the show. You're like, I'm really into sex right now. And
Oh, wait, you told the psychic medium that obsessed with sex.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Oh. And we didn't have time to dive into that because we were in the middle
but
of
it. But now we're talking about it, and I feel like we should jump into it.
All right.
No, so that was me jumping into it. Now I'm jumping out.
You don't want to jump in. I don't think
that's it.
I think anytime we go down this path, we learn things that we don't want to know.
I don't want to know about Hook, okay? Captain Hook.
Well, let's, I don't know. If you have to be a longtime listener to know what that one is, but if you don't know that inside joke, consider yourself lucky.
Go back and find it in the podcast.
It's not gay. The naked crisp body is beautiful.
Did you say it's not gay?
Did you say the naked crisp body?
Yes, I did.
I don't understand why would you say it's not gay?
It is appreciating Michelangelo's David gay? Is seeing me naked with a full erection gay? No, of course not.
I mean,
it's just the
maybe it is for some people.
Appreciation.
Maybe it is for some people.
Of one of God's finest creations.
This got weird.
I feel like he's gay bashing.
Don't be ashamed.
He's gay bashing on this show.
What?
Yeah, that's
what the fuck
stretch.
Is going on right now?
You're saying
what the fuck is going on right now?
How goddamn fine internet radio? That's what's going on, sir.
He's saying that it's not gay, and he's using it in a negative way.
No, I'm saying that you don't have to feel confused about your aesthetic appreciation of my natural physical beauty.
Eddie, Jason, and Chris on Facebook. Facebook.com/EJC Show.
Yeah. Eddie, Jason, and Chris, call us. EJC Show on Skype.
Have you ever bought condoms and mapped on the checkout girl? Like, yeah, you like that? What do you think?
No. Have you?
No.
Yeah.
I think he has.
Are you kidding? This
no.
is you were talking about.
Yeah.
1-888-99-ADOBE, that's the phone number. So Crayola is coming out with a new line of coloring books for adults. You guys see this?
I have a friend who bought one.
Really?
Yeah.
One of these coloring books for adults. How pathetic and stupid do you have to be to buy this?
I've seen these, actually. I know someone who bought it and was like, oh, check this out. It's about, like, drug use and stuff?
No.
Oh.
It's like
this is a different coloring
book.
This is
from Crayola, so it's, like, intricate patterns.
Oh, really?
And it's for adults to sit there and color, like kids.
Oh, see, I had a friend who got a coloring book that had, like, look at Jimmy take.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's like a novelty.
Novelty
thing.
One, yeah.
But this Never is like mind. A real life thing that Crayola's coming out with. It's an adult coloring book. They want adults to start coloring again.
I think a lot of women like to color. I know.
Get a job. How do these people have time to color?
So much judgment.
I mean, go get a real hobby. If you want to be artistic, go take a painting class. Don't color. What a waste of artistic time. Who do you think you are?
The hell are
Why
your
you
hobbies?
Be such a dick.
Because the show needs somebody
no,
to be
No, it
a dick.
Doesn't.
Oh, let's just talk about how great this is.
I'm not
That's
saying it's
fun.
Great, but...
Oh, well, but seriously, would you buy this?
No.
Okay, good. Why not?
Because I'm not that type of person.
Why?
Why? I don't know what else you want me to say.
It's that negative pessimistic energy.
Yeah.
Quit dancing on quicksand.
Why do you gotta...
Tell me why.
You don't
You're dancing on quicksand.
You don't always have to wear those shoes, Eddie.
You're dancing on quicksand.
You're so... aggro when he's on the show. When he hits the button, he just flips the switch.
Yeah.
But you don't
and he changes.
Why wouldn't you buy this? Tell me.
I told you I'm not interested in it.
Why?
I don't know what else
what
you want me to say.
Weird question to ask.
Why do you not
What are you 12?
That's logically
Why?
Incoherent.
Why?
You don't need a reason not to be interested in something. You need a reason to be interested.
Thank you.
What is the reason you're not interested?
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he just explained that.
No, there's got to be a reason. So you,
no,
so
it
do,
doesn't.
Do you not see yourself sitting down and coloring? Do you not have the time? There's got
I
to
just
be
don't
some...
enjoy it. There you go.
Why? So now you think all these people are dumb? Is that what you're trying to say?
Good God. It's like talking to a brick wall over here.
Yeah. I'm trying to Fox News you here.
I don't think you are. Maybe you should stop watching Fox News.
Yeah.
It's rubbing off on you.
Yeah.
But can't some things just stay for kids and some things be for adults?
No.
Okay, let's give booze to babies. That's
apparently
fine.
That happened.
Is that a news
story? That's a news story.
Oh, is that in the news?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Oh, geez. Maybe we should get to that story then.
All right. Here we go.
It's pretty awful.
An Arkansas woman put bourbon in her 10-month-old son's bottle because her son was teething and wouldn't stop crying. The boy was rushed to the hospital after he was found limp and unresponsive. He had a blood alcohol level of 0.19 and was released after a short stay in the hospital.
Good Lord.
Mom was arrested and charged with child endangerment.
This is a terrible story.
Do you think the child had to do a breathalyzer?
The important thing is that he could quit anytime he wants.
Yeah, that's
over double the legal limit for Colorado.
I'm going to party with that, baby.
There what do you think the legal limit is in Arkansas?
For a baby?
Yeah. I bet that's in the law somewhere.
Point two.
Then she shouldn't have been arrested.
Yeah. No, she was arrested because she drove him to the hospital and she was drunk.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha. Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
Was she? You think it was one of those situations where the baby...
She had a blood alcohol of 1.
I think it was one of those situations where the baby wouldn't sleep, so she's like, let's put a little bourbon in the baby
bottle.
Well,
a whole bottle's not a little.
But then she got carried away because she's drunk herself.
Well, there's like that old...
I don't know.
Well, we don't know how much she put in the bottle.
But the idea, like, I've heard this, and,
yeah, this
and people
is not
told us
unheard
that,
of.
Yeah,
yeah,
you rub whiskey
on
the gums, but you don't give them a bottle of whiskey.
I do that before I go to bed. I brush my teeth with whiskey. It helps me sleep. But
you also do a line of cocaine.
Yeah. No, but
I think it's way past time we had an intervention for this.
You
guy.
Don't brush your teeth with whiskey
next week, though, because I don't.
Yeah, yeah. I thought everybody did that.
It's late.
It's great.
Yeah. Why?
but what's this whiskey on the gums thing? What is that supposed to do?
Oh, if they're teething, it's like a
numbing.
Yeah, or if they're really colicky.
Yeah,
it's a painkiller.
Interesting. Okay.
We are not advocating that you do this. This is not something that you should do. It is not wise. I think the Arkansas story illustrates that, but it is something that Jason and I have heard people do. We're not advising anybody to do that.
Right.
Do not do it.
Don't do it.
Why are you getting all PSA on us there with that?
Well, legally speaking, we have to.
Yeah. Come on.
So...
It's our it's our duty to be socially responsible.
I think everybody that listens to the show comes to us for social responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just don't want a baby dying because it choked on its own vomit to be on my conscience in any way.
Do you think you're saying that you might be responsible for that happening?
Not now.
But what if it still happens?
What if they turn the radio off right before you said all that?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm washing my hands.
Or what if they never would have thought of this before, but just the fact that you mentioned it, now it's on their mind, and they're going to be like, ew, maybe I should do it.
Yeah, this is an awful news story. You probably shouldn't have said anything about this.
Yeah, why did you say that? That was terrible.
I thought it was hilarious.
I like the title of it. Did you read it?
Horrible mom put bourbon in her 10-month-old son's bourbon.
I think that's funny.
Well,
how dare you? What a bad mother put bourbon in your son's bourbon.
I think I'd have phrased it, put bourbon in his scotch or something.
Mm. Mm. Well, there you go. There's that news story.
What were we talking about before?
Should we do another news story? Because that one's kind of a downer.
What brought that up, though?
What?
Eddie was talking about something.
Alcohol.
I don't know. Listen back to the podcast, because I have no idea.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen.
Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar's son claims that Frank Sinatra was his dad's business partner.
What?
Sebastian Marroquin described the legendary crooner as a, quote, better cocaine dealer than singer in a recent interview. He said the chairman of the board was one of his father's partners in Miami.
Do you believe that?
Well, his connections to organized crime have been well-documented.
I mean, if that's true, do you know how much that Pablo Escobar was worth? He was making like $40 million a day or something crazy like that. So
was a billionaire.
How loaded would Frank Sinatra have been? Like,
Was a rich guy.
Well, I know, but I don't know if I buy that he was that rich.
I think when you're in a crime syndicate, it's very top-weighted. You know? Just because Pablo Escobar was a billionaire making $40 million a day. That doesn't necessarily reflect other members of his organization.
It doesn't seem like an especially egalitarian system.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you don't know the intricacies of his business. You're acting like you saw him on Shark Tank. That sounds like the U.S. economy.
I feel it's very top heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very.
Shark Tank.
Yeah, I think I saw this on Shark Tank. Pablo Escobar.
Why are you always trying to shoehorn Shark Tank into the conversation?
Because it's a great show.
It's a great show.
I like it.
I do too.
You don't like, you know, doesn't like,
get a little bit of popcorn going, popping, and
I do not like Shark Tank.
Why don't you like Shark Tank?
Some ginger ale.
I find it boring.
What do you mean? What's boring about Shark Tank?
Well, it gets in the way of his porn.
That's true.
Let's put you in the Shark Tank, Chris.
For one, I find the...
Hey, you're in the Shark Tank. Sorry, it's too late. What's your business?
Jason and I will tell you
if we're going to invest in your business.
Wait, one of us has to be the narrator or like the...
Oh.
Chris Barr comes in with a business plan of...
It's too episodic. It can't maintain my interest.
Chris Barr has an idea for a new steak knife. The investors will decide.
Let's face it, it's really...
Are you pitching it right now,
the steak knife? It's really a step or two above the Home Shopping Network.
Are you pitching the steak knife?
It's pretty much the Home Shopping Network.
The automatic steak knife.
Let's put you in the tank.
Who has the time to cut your own meat?
Chris is...
I've automated it by the touch of an app on your phone.
See, Jason knows how to pitch. Okay, why don't you pitch to me and Chris? Chris can be an investor.
I just pitched.
Go ahead.
I can't redo it.
Do it again.
Who has time to cut their own meat?
I'm in, except I have no money.
I've come up with a knife that is automated by the touch of your app on your smartphone. All you do, stick the knife in the meat, press go on your smartphone, and your meat will be cut.
Okay.
All right, sharks, who wants to pay me money?
You know, listening to this theme, you know what I realized? It's just a that's a remix of the Unsolved Mysteries theme.
Yeah,
Listen to it.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think it's close, but...
Mystery solved.
But that was a good pitch for your... It was a good pitch for your steak knife, though.
Really? Good job, Jason.
Come on. I mean, that was great.
The only thing you missed is you didn't tell us the name of the company. And for
I'm out. You're a great people person.
Chris, are you going to bid?
I'm in, but I have no money.
How much equity do you want in the company?
Why would you entertain that? For that, I'm back in. I'm going to be back in because this guy's an idiot.
All of the equity?
No.
You're
fired.
I don't really want to do any of the work anyway.
I will give you $25,000.
I can't believe we're still entertaining this.
I can't believe we're still on this bit.
Yeah, me too.
And you need a motorboat Barbara Corcoran.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either.
The older woman.
I don't know their names.
Barbara Corcoran.
You would.
There you go. All right.
You would be her manslave if you could
Well, she turned a $1,000 loan into a successful billion-dollar company. I mean.
Wow. It's like he memorized
that's what they say
the intro in the of Shark Tank.
Barbara Corcoran turned a $1,000 loan. Yes.
He really also, did,
I watched that show too much.
Yeah. What's her name again?
Barbara Corcoran.
Yeah. Why do you like Shark Tank?
She is the inspiration for corgi dolls.
Why do you like Shark Tank?
It's my preference.
Why?
It's entertaining. It's like
why?
It's a good show.
Why?
Mostly because of the theme song.
It subliminally just reminds people of Unsolved Mysteries.
I know. I feel like I'm watching Unsolved Mysteries the whole time. Lori Grenier.
No one knows.
Or like some
that
edgy
show.
Club DJs like butchering it.
You know, our listeners don't know that show, so they're
Unsolved
like, what?
Mysteries? What's Unsolved Mysteries?
Yeah. Are you guys excited for the new X-Files?
Yes.
That's coming out in January. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Eddie?
Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't watch
Speaking of old
that
shows.
Show religiously, but...
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Why are they bringing it back again?
It's like...
Because it's badass.
It's like 24.
Oh, yeah, they're
trying
doing
to
a
like,
series.
Like a limited.
Yeah, it's like 10 episodes or whatever. They're trying
it's a
to,
good idea.
Trying to get some ratings.
That's how long seasons are these days anyway.
Yeah, maybe they can like make the writing good and make it 10 episodes. Who knows? Could be good.
See, I think a 10-episode season of X-Files will be great because X-Files was always awesome, but it you had to admit it was hit and miss.
I feel like Mulder and Scully are going to be abducted in this miniseries.
The whole thing should be from a UFO.
No, I think they get abducted at the end, and 10 years from now, when they're older, they're going to be returned back to Earth.
What if
as another 10-part miniseries, and then they're just going to carry this over every decade until they're dead.
What if the hook is that there's no X-File, but it's just them, like...
What if they weren't really
agents?
They're
just pretending.
Yeah.
What if they're in a mental hospital? This is all in their mind.
Whoa.
We should be writers for this. Man, that would be a twist, wouldn't it?
They could let us ruin the whole series. Yeah, just hand it over to us and see how fast it takes.
Think about that.
People hate it.
Man, that'd be crazy. Like, the last episode ever. Yep. They're just in the hospital. They forgot to take their pills and they come out of it.
That'd be awesome.
Right?
That's a cop-out. That's like waking up from a dream in a TV series at the end.
Hey, that's a classic ending for...
How does that happen?
That was a classic ending for the Bob...
Barker? The Price is Right was not real.
It's like, oh, God shit, damn this is a dream. I was Drew Carey the whole time.
No, it was the... The Bob Newhart. Yeah.
Newhart?
Oh. Yes. Yes, I always say Newhart.
That was before our time, though. I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have
about.
No idea. That. But didn't Roseanne do that, too? Wasn't that like a dream? The last season was a dream or something?
No, it was like all a story she was writing.
What a terrible...
Oh, my God. Seriously, you guys remember that awful show?
That was a good show.
It was not a good show.
Why do you hate Roseanne?
Roseanne sucked.
Why?
Roseanne was a very smart, edgy show.
I just hated her laugh.
I can't believe we're back to this. God damn it. Oh, God damn it.
Can we get her laugh? I hate it. Nails on a chalkboard. She sounds like a witch.
That's good. There you go.
Was that sax?
It sounded like you were segueing into the Night Court theme.
Was that a sax, though?
Yeah.
Man, what happened to it? They've lost their touch with theme songs, haven't they?
Yeah, the art of the theme TV song
is gone.
Well, they don't even have
it. It's dead.
They do like a 5-second thing. It's like...
It's just a title card now.
Or they go into it. There's no theme songs anymore.
Or they sample The Who. It's one of the two.
What do you mean? All right. It's the EJC show. Oh, our guest is going to be joining us here in just a little bit, so we'll talk to this guy. He's a world-famous, legendary stuntman.
So, do you really need world-famous and legendary?
He's extraordinarily world-famous and legendary.
Do you think he's listening right now?
Yeah, I'm probably
I don't think any of our guests have ever listened, ever.
Even after they've been on.
Yeah. Well, they want to forget. Okay. So just in his bio real quick, it says he's worked with nearly every A-lister in town, including Bruce Willis, Jason Statham, Ryan Reynolds, Dwayne Johnson, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and Gerard Butler. Is that nearly every A-lister in town?
It just said including.
I guess. Is Jean-Claude Van Damme an A-lister?
That Jean-Claude Van Damme references of its...
And who the hell is Gerard Butler?
Follow Eddie, Jason, and Chris on Twitter. Eddie JC Show.
Okay, it's Eddie, Jason, and Chris here live on Adobe Radio, 1-888-99-IDOBE. That's the phone number. You can also Skype us if you want. EJC Show on Skype is how you do that. Of course, we are on Twitter, EJC Show. Follow us on there and Facebook. We're on both. We're on everything, Instagram, you name it. Our guest, Mike Mayhall, you've probably seen him before, but don't really know it in the movies when you're watching him because he's the guy that's... Taking all the hard hits for the A-listers, including Bruce Willis, Jason Statham, Ryan Reynolds, Dwayne Johnson, and more. He's a stuntman and a director, by the way, and he's on the line. Hello.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
Doing great. What's going on today? Right now, exactly. What are you doing?
Right now. Well, most immediately, I'm on the radio with you guys, which is... So kind of freaking awesome.
You're not jumping off a building.
You're not about to jump off a building.
I am not about to jump off a building, nor am I about to get set on fire. So it's a good day. it's a good day.
Well, is that so? Day. Being set on fire as a stuntman, let's just jump right into it. So, when you're being set on fire as a stuntman, do you ever get hot? Or this is a dumb question, but does the protective layer keep you from being hot? Because it obviously doesn't
burn your
skin.
It's a really good question. It lessens the heat. You do start to. It's all about timing.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're there. The fire starts. Your adrenaline's going, so you don't feel it. But then the shot keeps going, and you suddenly start getting really, really hot.
Have you ever had what's the scariest situation you've ever had involving fire? Because fire scares the shit out of me. Because like, you know, it's so unpredictable. It does what it wants. It has a life of its own.
Yeah, you just try to predict anything that can go wrong, really. You just try to, and that's what you try to do. I think the freakiest things for me is when you start working around mortar explosions, and they're not real mortars, but they're big air and sometimes gas explosions. Sometimes it's propane balls that are set on fire. And when that starts blowing, I get a little touchy because I'm like, wow, it's a really unpredictable element.
Do you ever make the joke, wow, it's like a sauna in here?
I didn't hear you. What was that?
Do you ever make the joke, wow, it's like a sauna in here?
You should. Write that one down.
Yeah, keep that one in your back pocket.
Next time you're on fire...
Yeah, I'm going to hold on to that one. I'm going to keep that. That's comedy gold right there.
Just stop and look into the camera and say, wow, it's like a sauna in here.
It's like a sauna in here. There it means it hot, guys.
Yeah. Well, we're going to perform a quick stunt right now. Are you ready for this? A quick one. We're going to light Chris on fire in just
any
a second. Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Do you have any tips?
Do you have any tips before we light him on fire?
Don't stop moving.
Are you ready, Chris? Here we go.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're going to light him up. We have this gas canister here. We're just going to see what happens.
Ooh, that's chilly.
How's that feeling?
A little bit cold.
Okay.
Whoa!
Ah! You know what? No, I'm fine.
Hello.
Wow, it's like a sauna in here.
It's like a sauna. All right, well, Mike, sorry for our shenanigans, but really, what you do is really awesome. I have a lot of respect for you because you make the movies possible. You're the unsung hero. You're the guy we only
Thanks,
see.
Man.
We see your name in the credits, buried beneath the soundtrack. What is that?
What the fuck is going on?
Is that you, Mike, making that sound?
Nope. Doorbell. Captain's doorbell.
Oh, okay. I don't know why.
So anyway, I'm going to do my best to ignore that. And,
hello. Yeah. Come on in.
Yeah. Someone wants to come over. They want to hang out.
But it's cool. How'd you get into this?
I just sort of fell into it.
Literally?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, literally. I started on stage doing sword fighting, and which is something I really love.
Oh, really?
And it just sort of... One thing led to another. I started meeting guys who did stunts. I said, hey, I want to get into it. And just started pursuing it, you know, just hustling. A lot of hustling, a lot of hard work.
Like anything else, right? So, but that's pretty interesting,
pretty much.
That's pretty interesting. So what made you think, what do you think made you stand out?
I don't know. I kind of feel like I don't really stand out. I just feel like I'm just, always trying to work hard and always trying to get to the next level sort of thing. I think what makes me stand out is that I'm a trained actor and I like to direct film.
Right, which is why you're talking to us exactly, because you have a new movie to promote.
Well, we're just talking about...
But yeah, but go back to that.
So in the stunt world, they look at me more like a stunt actor, so I'm able to perform sometimes a little bit more and give a little bit more, like, and I have an actual role, like, and sometimes I'm not always doubling somebody, I'm actually have a little part, and I can contribute in more ways than just hitting the ground.
What's the craziest stunt you've ever done? I'm sure you've got that 1,000 times, but I gotta ask.
One of the ones I just really loved was on Looper, the big sci-fi show with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis.
Good movie.
And I was doubling Joseph. And I jumped out of like the fourth story of the fourth floor of a building and rolled over this like fire escape, and then had to shimmy to the side and jump to a ladder and climb down a ladder.
Were you drunk?
And I wish.
Were they like, stop screwing around, Mike? You need it on set.
No. But no, that was one of the coolest things, because like it was this huge, major, giant setup, and I did have a wire attached to me, so in case I overshot the balcony, I wouldn't fall to my death.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah,
I thought it was pretty nice, but like right before I jumped out the window, the stunt coordinator, my boss, he looks at me after this 12-hour setup, this whole huge thing, and he goes, everybody's here for you for this one moment. Don't mess up.
And that's a
and did you?
No.
Oh, okay. That's a good perk me up. I think if I was in his position, I'd look at you in the eye and be like, I don't know, do you think that wire will hold?
Do you think that wire would hold? It sure didn't look like it would hold.
Have you ever been watching a movie? By the way, we're talking to Mike Mayhall. He's a very famous stuntman and also a movie director, and he has a new horror movie. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But have you ever been watching a movie, Mike, and you thought to yourself, wow, that stuntman was shitty. He was terrible. He did not get set on fire properly.
You know, what I've seen more in movies is I've seen guys take hits that make me cringe.
Really?
And the rest of the audience...
Name names.
I wish I could... There was a scene in one of the Spider-Mans where this guy comes falling down an alley, where the Spider-Man goes alley, and he hits his head. The Spider-Man hits his head, and the camera lingered, and you could see him reach for his head, like, and I was like, he just took a really hard hit.
Yikes.
And no one knows it. That guy's hurting.
Oh, man. So you think, like, and then obviously the director wants to use that cut because, I mean, it was...
It looks so real.
You have to use it, right? So have you ever, like... gotten so hurt or been, you know, kind of messed up in a scene, but then the director does not use that cut? He'll go with something else because he's a dick?
Knock on wood, I have not been, like, really injured or hurt. I've taken a lot of bumps and a lot of bruises, but I get a little, like, superstitious about it. Like, I'm kind of in the circle here. But I haven't taken a really hard hit that's put me out. I wish I could think of an example of at a time when, like, I thought a take was messed up and a director's used it. I've never been in that situation. I just can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Well, it's the mark of a professional, you know? That's probably why you keep getting worse. You're the guy who doesn't, you know, cause insurance claims to bring down the production.
Right.
That's sort of the goal, you know? Well, in the stunt world, generally, you don't get a lot of, like, second chances, you know? You usually, at least just stuff for me, where you're usually the last up, the last shot, and we only have one take, one opportunity. So, you know, you just sit and you prep and you wait, and you just got to freaking nail it that first time.
What's the scariest stunt you've ever done?
Scariest stunt I've ever done. Okay, so I was working on a TV show called Memphis Beat, and we were in this high-rise building.
What a waste, because I never heard of that show.
Classic program.
It lasted, like, it wasn't very good. It didn't last.
Well, I'm sorry, what did you have to do?
So I was up on this high-rise building. I don't know how many stories up I was, 20 stories, 20-plus stories up, and it was in the middle of this storm. And it was a real simple stunt, but I had to have. But we only had one moment to get the shot, and it was a guy who was thinking about committing suicide, and then at the last minute changes his mind. So I had to lean out and almost step off this building. And there must have been 40 to 50 mile an hour gust winds. I was getting blown around left and right, and they basically were holding me by my belt loop.
Oh my Jesus!
And someone was. Oh yeah,
Sounds like my weekend.
I reached over and I did it, and I looked down, and then I came back, and we did it twice.
Oh,
but that
wow.
was the scariest.
That is nuts.
Because I wasn't worried that I was going to flip. I was worried that the wind and rain were going to gust and knock me off.
You don't tap the You don't have to name names, but is there a stunt coordinator who you just won't work with? You, like, see his name, and you're like, fuck no.
And keep in mind, when you answer this, you do have to name names, like Chris said.
No. I've been really lucky with the coordinators that I've worked with. They've all been super safety-minded and just generally good guys. I wish I had, like, one of those, like, horror stories for you, but I unfortunately, I don't. I've been... lucky.
Jason is a big action movie guy, aren't you, Jason? That's your favorite genre?
Who isn't?
I wouldn't say it's my favorite genre, but I enjoy an action flick.
Have you ever seen a stunt and you thought to yourself, that's dumb, I could do that?
No.
You know what? I thought the fight choreography in the Dark Knight Rises was
coloring
was abysmal. Like,
really?
Yeah, like every move, like you, I feel like you could see the... stunt fighters pause and like, it just.
What did you think? What did you think of that film?
That was the second one, right?
The third one with Bane.
The third one. Oh, you know, I wanted to like that film.
Everybody wanted to,
but I just didn't.
It was not great. It was unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it was a good attempt, but.
Why is it that you've worked with Bruce Willis multiple times? Is that just kind of a coincidence?
I think it's just coincidence. Yeah, okay. You know, and I wasn't his double, obviously, but he's a really cool guy, and our relationship pretty much consists of me going hi, and he says hi back.
Yeah,
but
it's like a hi.
It's just I was happy to get a hi.
Is he the type of guy on set that just won't talk to anybody? Is he like kind of you know?
No. But usually when I'm out there and involved, there's so many moving parts in the big action sequence that everybody's really just focused on their job, on their gig.
So do you think?
No, he was cool.
He's cool every time, but
he has to recognize you now.
Yeah, I mean, you've risked your life in front of him a couple times, right?
There's like hundreds of people.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe like when we were on Looper, like I was out there for a couple weeks. Because I was doubling Joseph, and he and I got along really, really well.
You and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Don't name drop
Joseph
anything.
Gordon-Levitt.
So now, I feel like you might be a good double for him, because you guys sort of, I don't know, maybe could, is this the first movie you've doubled with him, or what?
Yeah, it is, and I've tried to get on a couple other films, but a lot of the films now are sort of, when they film out on location, a lot of them have to do with the tax breaks and tax incentives.
Ah, so they'll go with a Canadian.
So if you're not like, yeah.
Goddamn Canadians.
Isn't he even, he's in a new one where he's like walking across.
On a big wire.
Yeah.
I can't believe he did that over like 3 feet on a green screen. Jeez.
I'm sure he did.
I was going
to
say.
They could have got you to do it for real.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You should have been the one doing it for real.
Let's probably rebuild the World Trade Center.
Well, you don't have to use the World Trade Center.
Yeah, we just had to put those things back up.
Yeah, jeez, Chris. Yeah. How insensitive.
You're probably too busy,
soon?
Though.
Too soon?
Too soon.
Too busy directing your new feature, though, Jake's Road. Yeah. Tell us about that.
I was busy doing that, you know, and pounding that out.
How'd you get Bruce Willis in that?
What was that?
How'd you get Bruce Willis in that?
How did I get Bruce Willis in Jake's Road?
Yeah.
We didn't get Bruce Willis in Jake's Road.
Eric Roberts is in it, though. That's cool.
We were trying to get an exclusive
nominee.
We had Oscar nominee Eric Roberts in there, kicking butt.
Well, Eric Roberts is a fantastic actor. He was in The Dark Knight.
That's right, yeah.
He was in The Dark Knight. Yeah, that's right.
Sal Maroney, I think. But tell us about your movie. What's it about?
What's it about? Jake's Road, like you said, it's an action thriller horror. It's got a little bit for everybody in there, and it's a real character-driven piece. Essentially, a guy wakes up in a hospital and has no real recollection how he gets there. He slowly starts to remember that he and his friends went out to have a nice weekend at a resort, and some bad news happens. A killer shows up, and then it sort of becomes a race to figure out the killer's identity. It's got some good action, some good thrills, and some good horror moments in it.
Something for everybody. Bring the wife, bring the kids, bring grandma.
Bring everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Bring everybody. Bring the kids, the wife, grandma. They're going to love it. It's something for everybody. 100%.
Now, this movie, you wrote it and directed it, and that's very admirable. So it came out like in 2014, though. So I'm a little confused as to why you're plugging it now. Is it on video now, or like what's happening?
It just recently, not too long ago, came out on like iTunes and okay. on Amazon. And with the independent films, you know, we shot it last year, and it just. Because it's an independent, we're doing everything ourselves. You know, I edited the film, and then we're out trying to get a distribution guy on our own. And so we don't have the big machine that's Hollywood that it can just, like, turn around and just throw it right out there. So everything just takes a lot longer. So now we're just able to put a little money into the promotions because it's out. And I'm kind of happy we did, you know. It's a good film. It's been getting a lot of great reviews, which is I'm really excited about.
iTunes and Amazon, though. That's a big coup for you. Congratulations.
There you go. Speaking of reviews, here's an actual IMDb user review. This was not only a thriller, but it was a fun watch. Understandably, it was fiction, but there was enough truth in the characters that the audience could well relate to them.
Mike, did you write an IMDb review?
Did you write that?
You got me.
Mike.
I pretty much write all the reviews. even the bad ones. If there's a bad one, I write those too. I try to be fair and balanced.
Actually, all of your reviews on IMDb are quite favorable. They're all like a full, like almost 10 stars. So I think that you did write these.
I did. I create fake names, and then I write them.
Somebody else says...
Well, I'm convinced.
Chris has a question for you in a second, but one more quick blurb from IMDb. He says, or maybe Jason has a question, but somebody on IMDb says, I sat down to watch this movie and totally got sucked in. Yes, it's a thriller, but the characters are endearing and memorable with real personalities that are established before the scary stuff starts.
Ooh.
And they mention Eric Roberts. They say he is... at his predictable best.
That's good.
Glowing, glowing, and eloquent.
There you go.
So, what inspired you to write this story?
The camp where it's filmed is the place that I used to grow up going to as a kid. It's my stepfather's hunting cabin, and so there's a lot of like, and the characters are all based off of friends of mine, I kind of like horror and thriller, so it was sort of like half my, you know, my childhood hanging out with my buddies and half my sort of twisted imagination of what would happen if something went really wrong out here.
Half coming of age, like Stand By Me, half Deliverance. Yeah. It's cool, yeah.
Half Friday the 13th, half Memento, quarter Memento.
I look forward to finding it on Amazon.com.
Cool. Well, we'll check it out.
Check it out, man.
I wish we could have watched the film before we talked to you, because we definitely would have if we had that opportunity, but no one...
Well, thank you for pointing it out.
No one offered.
That's okay.
But you have a private screening for us, I hear. It says here.
We could totally have a private screening, and then you guys can create all sorts of fake names and rate great reviews.
Perfect.
And bad ones, to be fair.
Yeah.
But the bad ones, and a few bad ones just to balance it out.
But the bad ones will have terrible grammar, so that way...
It's two to five.
They're not respected.
We're too busy keeping this train wreck of a show together with both hands.
Yeah. Well, Mike Mayhall, thank you so much for being on the show. Jake's Road, that's the film that's available now, Amazon and iTunes.
Yeah.
Stuntman extraordinaire. Thanks, man. We appreciate the conversation. It's interesting stuff.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for having me, man. And y'all take care.
You too, buddy.
You too. Keep us posted with everything.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Have a good night.
You too.
Good luck.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There you go. Stuntman, our first stuntman on the show. What did you guys think of that?
Was it a nice I like that. Of pace? That was it was a very nice change of pace. And he seems like a cool guy. Yeah. And Eric Roberts, fine actor.
I mean, this stuntman is legit, though, for real. I mean, he's worked with everybody.
Yeah. Absolutely.
A lot of A-listers. So.
Good change of pace. Good guy, seems like.
Yeah.
The Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. EJCShow.com.
Remember to get our podcast if you haven't done it. If you're listening live, you can find our podcast. Just search Eddie, Jason, Chris on iTunes. That's the best way to do it. We're everywhere. Just search Eddie, Jason, and Chris.
Well, before we get to my news, Jason had a quick news bit that he wanted to share.
Oh, yeah. In local news here in Denver.
Yeah, before we get to Chris's news.
Over the past weekend.
But this is national news.
It just
happened here in Denver, this thing that you're talking about, where we do the show from, yeah.
Right. Well, either way, over the weekend, some vandalism occurred on the streets of Denver.
Oh, my God.
Where three car-to-gos,
what
smart
are those?
Cars.
Smart, so they're tiny,
were flipped
tiny
onto,
cars.
Yeah, tiny little cars. Were flipped on their sides.
So like the tiny compact
tiny
cars.
Little cars, and it looked like, you know, probably like three or four guys got it and just rolled them onto their sides.
You think there's like some drunk frat bros and they're just
absolutely.
Like,
no, I feel like I would probably do that.
I feel like you probably did it. So this is why we want you to...
Well, I'm not 21 anymore.
It's a little suspicious that you're bringing up the story because I think maybe you did it and this is your cover.
Why?
Because if you bring it up, we're never going to suspect you, right?
Why?
Because, so what? Did you not do it?
Why?
In other news,
jeans play a big factor in whether a person remains loyal to their partner
as
or
in
cheats.
Levi's.
What if you don't wear jeans?
Yeah, Chris or Jason wears shorts
all
the time.
Yeah, does that matter? This story sucks. Move on.
Fuck off. Researchers studied 7,378 twins and siblings who had been in a monogamous relationship for at least 1 year to see who cheated and who remained faithful. They found identical twins correlated strongly with one other in terms of unfaithfulness, while fraternal twins and siblings did not. The results suggest that there is likely a gene that affects whether one cheats or not on their partner.
Hmm. So what if you wear shorts?
God damn you. God damn it all. I don't even...
Okay.
Fuck.
I don't know. Did you want to discuss that one? Because I have nothing there, but I thought...
I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
Hey, it's interesting. Yeah,
yeah, it's like... Yeah.
Let everybody ponder that.
It seems like, you know... Nature, you know... I feel like there's a series of these studies that keep pointing to nature being a... more important influence than nurture, and yeah, it's interesting.
It is interesting.
Your genes affect so much about
who you are.
Who you are,
and at some point, do you stop apologizing?
Well, that's why I prefer loose fit.
I think that's the
question.
God
damn you, man! Just fuck. God damn it all! I just don't even.
I feel like Novak should be writing these jokes down.
But at some point, I mean, so if cheating is something that happens in your
genetic.
Genes, is genetic, do you go on Dr. Phil and apologize for it at that point?
Can you apologize for your genetics?
I don't. Listen, Dr. Phil, it was my genetics. It wasn't anything else. I mean, like, is that a valid argument now? If science is proving that? I don't know. I think that's the real question.
I don't know. How can you... I feel like there's too many variables in this study to actually...
Which
say
variables?
So how were these folks... How were these individuals raised?
Look, man...
If you're going to say nature or nurture, that you have to have that background.
This is just a
like,
blur.
They
don't know the...
Did their mom and dad... Did one of those two cheat? Did that fall into the study?
I have a...
It has to, right?
Like, they look... They try to find twins who have been, like, separated at birth.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, but their family life does come into play.
Separated at birth, so they've been raised in
different families. I get it. But their history has to come into play, right? But there's no mention of that.
Look, I'm sure statistically they've taken that into account.
You're sure?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Why?
A new study says that farts contain hydrogen sulfide, which is toxic in large doses, but can help protect cells and fight illnesses when
farts?
Inhaled in tiny amounts. Researchers say the smell of flatulence has secret health benefits that could help stave off cancer, strokes, heart attacks, and dementia.
Hydrogen sulfide is one of a number of potent smelly gases produced by bacteria as it breaks down food in the gut. When cells become stressed by disease, they try to produce their own small amounts of the gas. The chemical helps manage inflammation. Without it, the cell can switch off and die. One researcher said, while hydrogen sulfide is a pungent, foul-smelling gas, it could end up being a healthcare hero for future treatments of a variety of diseases.
It's a soundboard. Take it away.
The level of fun you are having with this is just...
I feel it's a distraction.
Preposterous.
He's like a two-year-old over there.
Yeah, yeah. He really is.
I stopped touching it long ago. It has a mind of its own.
I feel like I've done that fart. I have had that fart, actually.
That was you.
The people around that person, really healthy right now.
Yeah, everybody's healthy.
Yeah, next time I bust ass at an elevator, I'm going to turn to everybody and be like, you're welcome.
Earlier tonight.
I just saved your lives,
I gave you a handful of fart, Chris. You're welcome.
No, you just gave me a handful of nicotine because you smoke, and you probably took a couple seconds off my life.
With fart, though.
Did it all balance out, so you're just a weirdo sticking your hand out at me?
Well,
you're used to it.
At the end of the story, they say that farts could end up being a future treatment for a variety of diseases. How does that work? So if somebody farts in your face at the doctor's office and they charge you a whole bunch of money and you go home? Is that what's going to happen? Like, what does that mean?
I don't know. Look it up.
Wow. Testy. Someone's testy.
Somebody's going to get his face farted on for depression.
Someone's a little testy.
Irritability.
Someone's testy.
A man from Idaho who escaped jail by scaling a razor wire fence and then taunted authorities on social media was arrested in Mexico. The 38-year-old man escaped jail, then bragged about it on Facebook, and even taunted authorities. But his taunting backfired as cops monitored his Facebook posts that included selfies and various shots around Cancun, Mexico. This led to his arrest in Mexico. He was turned over to authorities in the U.S. Oh my god, is this the jailbreak theme?
Prison break.
But did he get his brother out of prison or not? That's not in the story.
Right. Wait.
Of course he had this queued up.
I got something. You ready, Eddie?
For what?
Here we go.
What
you
do
ready?
You need for me?
Guess his spring break just ended. Thank you.
The Coast Guard has called off its search for a 35-year-old Brazilian man who intentionally jumped off a Royal Caribbean cruise ship on Friday in the Bahamas.
Good.
That's how awful the cruise is.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
They should have had better cocktail shrimp.
Wow. The search was called off after
better
more than
plumbing.
930 square nautical miles had been searched by boats, a plane, and a helicopter. Passengers and crew members watched as the man held onto a lifeboat attached to the cruise.
I think that's really getting under his skin, Eddie.
Just keep going. It's just a boat.
Excuse me. Passengers and crew members watched as the man held onto a lifeboat attached to the cruise ship before plunging into the water below. It was all caught on video. Allegedly, the guy was being harassed by staff on the cruise ship because he was gay. Yes, this is hilarious. The guy's attorney says
there
was an altercation with the staff and that he fell off the side of the boat. Royal Caribbean issued a statement saying that crew members saw the man, quote, intentionally going over the side of the ship.
Intentionally?
How did he hire an attorney?
Wait, what?
How did he have an attorney?
Maybe this was his attorney on retainer.
Oh, okay.
Or the family attorney.
Yeah.
An attorney representing his interests. I don't know.
So now we're saying
that's kind of interesting.
Royal Caribbean is shaming gay people into jumping off of their boats. Is that the story here?
That's the allegation.
I wouldn't say they're total staff. That's unfair. But the specific staff.
I'm going to go ahead and go on an alleged limb here. Allegedly, and say it's the entire staff. And it's allegedly maybe in their training
videos.
Allegedly. some people say.
You are Fox News.
You're like, yeah, major media guy.
I think they have like some. There must be staff videos where they all sit around and watch, and allegedly, perhaps some people say they tell their employees to make gay people jump off their boats.
That's why Eddie's so uncomfortable with my nude figure. It's because he's a homophobe. Hmm.
I just thought maybe he's like more into like the mass media now. I'm surprised we didn't spend like an hour and 45 minutes on Ben Carson's West Point appointment.
His what?
Oh.
What happened?
Ben Carson made...
in presidential 2016 coverage.
Yeah, Ben Carson
claimed
has Republican repeatedly nominee. Alleged that he was offered a scholarship to West
ride.
Point. Full ride scholarship. And it has come to the attention of the world that these claims have been false, and he's been under fire for making these claims on numerous occasions. He's also released a rap song, which I think is the real story.
Hmm.
That is right.
Both scandalous.
Yeah.
He has released a rap song. Well, it's not a rap song. Isn't it like part of one of his campaign videos or something?
I don't fucking know.
You haven't actually seen it, have you?
I have not, no.
No, me neither.
I've come across this on the... Do you guys want to hear it? I think we might.
Yeah.
Okay, give me a second. I'll pull it up, but we have it here. Do you have one more story while I pull up this?
Sure, yeah. Collins Dictionaries is out with its top words of the year. And Binge Watch took the number one spot. Dad bod is an untoned and slightly plump male physique. Excuse me, physique, especially when considered attractive.
Physique.
Ghosting, the actor an instance of ending a romantic relationship by not responding to attempts to communicate by the other party.
What? I've never even heard of that.
Ghosting. Oh, here we go. This one takes the cake. Manspreading. The practice by a male passenger on public transportation of sitting with his legs wide apart, so
oh,
denying
Lord.
Space to passengers beside him.
This happened to me on an airplane. I was... This guy... And he said sorry to manspread. He, like, took out all
this... And then
this...
he bent over, spread his cheeks in her seat, expected you to
wheelbarrow
him. Yeah. All rectally. Right.
I won't continue the story. Here's Ben Carson's rapping ad.
Vote, vote, inspire. Vote, vote, revive. Vote, vote, Ben Carson 2016. Vote and support Ben Carson for our next president and be awesome.
America became a great nation early on, not because it was flooded with politicians, but because it was flooded with people who understood the value of personal responsibility, hard work, creativity, innovation, and that's what will
I
get
think
us.
That's enough.
That is that the detachable penis guy?
The right track now.
There you go. All right.
It has about the same
cancer
structure.
Yeah.
Well, I think that about wraps it up. Unless you had something.
Were we
going
to say something about you on an airplane being manspreaded?
Yeah, but the moment
finish.
Is passed.
No, it's not.
Passed.
Go.
I got nothing.
You got manspreaded on
a
plane.
I did. Somebody took. I got manspreaded on a plane. Put that on the soundboard. I got manspreaded. Well, okay.
I also want the line about enough about me getting manspreaded. Here's Ben Carson's rap.
quality programming.
Yeah. We can only do this once a week, folks, because our comedy reserves have been completely exhausted.
I go home and sleep for a full 24 hours.
Yeah.
I sleep for a full 6 days until it's time for the show again. Hmm. Yeah. The last 10 years of my life feels like a month.
True. Well, thanks to our guest, Mike Mayhall. Check out his award-winning... soon-to-be award-winning thriller. It's called Jake's Road. You can check that out. Starring Oscar nominee Eric Roberts. So there you go. That's on iTunes and Amazon. Jake's Road if you want to watch a horror movie. So there you go. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Have a good night.
Good night and good day.
Good morning and bad luck.